Good to be in service this morning. If you would, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Let's have a word of prayer before we read. But Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day of life. Dear Lord, we're thankful for a day that in one sense, our country still does set aside a day that we recognize this is the Lord's Day. Dear Heavenly Father, you put it in the commandments, dear Lord, and dear Heavenly Father, to take a day and set aside to worship you. Dear Lord, you give us 6 days to do as we need, to work, to take care of our personal businesses and things, but Lord, you've only asked for just one day. And dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we still have that day. We're thankful for desire to be in the house of God. Lord, we're thankful for that you said you would visit with us, dear Lord. You said in your word, where two or three are gathered together, I'll be in the midst. And dear Lord, what a privilege it is to have the Spirit of God to just dwell with us here this morning and each and every time we get together. Dear Heavenly Father, as you walk this earth, dear Lord, people completely surrounded you. They thrown you, dear Lord. They wanted to be around you, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we often wonder what it would be like today, dear Lord. We know that if you were to walk this earth again, and you did the miracles that you did, they would probably do the same thing, but only for the purpose of the miracles as they did back in the time of the Bible. But dear Lord, today people have no desire for the things of God. And Lord, we ask you to be with souls, dear Lord. We know that we're living in a very unusual and difficult time, dear Heavenly Father. We know that every generation that probably passes says it's always difficult. It's always troublesome, dear Lord. But Lord, there are things that are happening today that I don't believe we've seen in many generations, dear Heavenly Father. And so Lord, we ask you to be with us. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Help us to be encouraged, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, help us as we sang the song and we talked about it Wednesday night, dear Lord. We're thankful for a hope that we have, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful as this world is deteriorating and is just going into the depths of sin, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful that we have a hope in Jesus Christ, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, you haven't diminished in power. You haven't weakened, dear Lord. Your glory is still full, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thankful for your goodness to us, dear Lord. So we ask you to be with us, dear Lord. Help us to be encouraged, each and every one of us. Dear Lord, as we use our eyes and our ears and our senses to hear what's going on in the world. But dear Lord, as we can look up, dear Lord, for grace and help and comfort, dear Lord. And we'll thank you for that. So be with each and every one of us, dear my Father. We're not here just because we didn't have anything else to do. Dear Lord, each and every one of us came for a purpose, and we trust that that purpose was to hear the word of God. Dear Lord, to draw closer to you, dear Lord. The Bible says, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. So, dear Lord, we desire to draw close to you, dear Heavenly Father. So, through the preaching of the word, through the spirit of the word, we ask you to anoint each and every ear, every hear, dear Heavenly Father, the hearts of each one's, the minds, dear Lord. We ask you to anoint me, anoint the message, that I'll bring it just as you would have us to. And we'll certainly give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. In Mark chapter 10, we're going to pick up here in verse 46. And they came to Jerusalem, and as he went out of Jerusalem with the disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus and the son of Timaeus sat on the highway beside begging. And when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more great deal. And the son of David, having mercy on him, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Verse 51 there, it says, And Jesus answered and said unto him, What will thou that I should do unto thee? Always like that verse, kind of an interesting verse. Jesus didn't know what he needed. It wasn't like Jesus didn't know. Jesus knew everything about this man. No doubt he probably knew where he had been sitting. No doubt he probably made a little bit of a change of direction to walk past him. And many times we can do many references in the Bible and how Jesus passed by certain people and they called upon him. But no doubt Jesus knew where he was. And I'm not saying the word says this, but maybe his path was technically would have been this direction. But Jesus deviated from that just to get a little closer, to hear the man and to cry out, to do a miracle, to do a blessing. And Jesus called the man and they brought the man to Jesus. And he asked him a question. He said, What do you have me to do for you? What do you want me to do? You know, many times we can go to God in prayer and we can think, well, Lord knows all to do. And I find myself guilty some of that. Lord, you know what it is. But the Bible teaches us we need to ask. Ask some things. Ask God. Require some things of this. And Jesus asked the man this question. He goes, What will you have me to do? And we see that in this story here that as the man heard about Christ coming by, and I may have already made reference to the song we're going to read here in just a moment, but as the man heard that Jesus was coming by, and he started to cry to him. And I thought another part of the verse there, in verse 47, he cried out to him, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. And the people that were around him, they told him to be quiet, not to cry out to him, but he did it even the greater. We sing in these songs, books on Wednesdays from time to time, and this is a song, I don't know if it's one of my favorites in this song, but we've sang this and learned it. And I think it's a beautiful song. And the song title is As I Must Tell Jesus. And verse 1, I'm going to read all three verses to you in the chorus. So verse 1 says, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He e'er loves and care for his own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, he all my care and sorrow will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Beautiful song. I must tell Jesus. I need to let Jesus know. I need to seek God out. And we see, as we mentioned here, that Bartimaeus was blind. And I jumped a little ahead of myself, but he was blind, and he heard that Christ was coming. I thought to myself, how bad we need a country today that needs Jesus Christ. This is what our nation needs. This is what our county needs, our state needs. They need Christ. They don't recognize that. And I wonder how long God will sometimes allow our country to get in such a disastrous way before they finally turn and cry, I need Jesus. In a sense, this man was physically blind, but today our people are so spiritually blind, they have no direction, no understanding of what direction they're going. They're going the way of the world, they're going the way of the sin, they're going the way of the enemy is directing them, and they have no need in their mind that they think for Jesus. This man, he's heard that Jesus is coming by, and he cried out. Here Jesus was there and he cried out and the people tried to quiet him. You know what? Our country, our nation, our government officials are trying to quiet churches today. That's right. And they have done a large success in some ways. They have done, as Brother John had mentioned, so I appreciate the ones that are coming. Some new ones coming in and everything. But churches out there today are closing left and right because of the attendance, because of not being able to afford things. Young people aren't going to service. Families aren't going to service. People aren't bringing their children up in service. They're not teaching their children the ways of Christ. That's just the way the world is today, to where it wasn't that way at the time. And the government, in one sense, is trying to agree with that, or push that, or influence that. Taking things out of the schools, removing things out of the schools with prayers and the things of God. The people tried to quiet this man, to be quiet. And it affects us sometimes. It affects us. It affects me. As I walk in this sinful world, it affects me. When the majority of the people that you're around, even our own family members, are saying, be quiet, we don't want to hear about Christ, we don't want to know about the things of God. When they do that themselves, it affects us. But this young man had a need, such a need, and he knew one thing. Christ was the answer to his need. And I thank God that we can, as we're saved, and as I said, saved and sanctified, have an understanding that Christ is the answer to our needs in every way, and Christ is the one that's going to take us to heaven. I'm not going to make it to heaven on my own. And in that song, I might mention that. I don't want to lose that thought there in the last part of that chorus. It says, Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus alone can help me. Amen. Only sometimes can Jesus, is the only one that can we help, ask for help for. He cried out even more. And he got Jesus' attention. And Jesus called for him. And there again is Jesus in verse 51, is, what shall I do to thee? The song title there, it says, I must tell Jesus. Look at the chorus here again. In the first part of the chorus there, he says it several times. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. You know, saints, as saints of God, we need to come to that place from time to time. We need to humble ourselves to realize what great need we need of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that I can't bear this trials. I can't go through the things of this world. We preached a message before about God dealing with the apostle Paul. And he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. That portion there to where he says, my grace is sufficient for you to walk through this world. To go through the sinful things, to rub shoulders with the world. Jesus prayed to the disciples one time. He said, Lord, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. Sometimes I would say, Lord, if you want to take me home, I'm ready. Yeah. To go get away. I know we have family, we have loved ones, we have responsibilities and all those things. But Jesus says, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but pray that you keep them from the evil of the world. The world's evil. That was what Jesus prayed back there when he was still walking this earth with the disciples. That's what he prayed. How much more is it today? Let me tell you what, God's grace is still sufficient today. To keep us from the very evil of the world. Keep us from the sinful natures of the things of this world. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. In the song, I feel the urgency of the call. I must tell Jesus. From time to time, do we have that same urgency? I got to get a hold of Christ. Ever have from time to time you had to get a hold of somebody by phone? Some of you may have remembered here a couple years back. Remember we had that earthquake? Well, to my knowledge, I don't know if we've ever had one like that at all here. I was at work. I thought one of the guys at work were shaking. We had two tables. I was on a table. He was on a table. And we have a wall, like a pegboard wall. I thought he was shaking something. So my tools were falling off. I'm like, what in the world is he doing? And when I walked around, I seen him standing still. And I looked out on Eastern Avenue. I seen the streetlights. I knew exactly what was happening. Cars were shaking. I knew one thing. I had to get out of that building. That was one thing I knew. But if those of you to remember that, you remember what we tried to do? We jumped on our phone. Absolutely. No one could get a hold of no one. I don't know if just the grid locked up because everybody was trying. And we were in a panic somewhat. Yeah. Trying to get a hold of someone. That was our urgency.
to try to get a hold of someone. And I think, saints of God, from time to time, and I'm not saying it may be in a burden or a trial or a situation, from time to time I ask God to help us to have a burden. We need to get a hold of Christ. We need to just have a fellowship, a unity, a oneness with Christ in our prayer time. I must need Jesus. Because I can't bear these burdens. I can't go day to day, day after day. I need the help of Christ. Even Christ, as he walked this earth, from time to time, he had to get away from everyone. He went up in the mountains and he would pray all night long. He was human. He didn't just go and go and go and go and spend himself. There was some time to time he had to get away and pray by himself all night. And if that was Christ, how much more do we? The same thing. The urgency. The urgency, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. A thought that I had this week. Not going to go over there and read the story. Most of you know the story. But you know, after Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper with the disciples, and then he went out, and he went out to pray. And the Bible says that he took his disciples to a certain spot, to a certain point. And then he told the disciples to sit here while I'll go pray. But he took three with him. But he took Peter, James, and John. And he took the three of them a little bit further into the garden. And he told them, he told Peter and James and John, he said, wait here and pray. See, they had no idea what was about to happen. Not a clue. Jesus knew. Jesus knew that in just a little bit of time, they were going to come, they were going to take him, and they were going to go through all the process of the scourging and crucifying and things. And he knew that the disciples, one of his burdens was for the disciples. He knew that they wouldn't understand. He knew they were scattered. He knew they would go away. He knew Peter would reject. He knew all those things. But he also knew the torture and the torment he was going to have to face. And he took Peter, James, and John. And we know that they were the three of the inner circle for whatever reason, whatever purpose. Don't even know all those details. But he took them a little further. And he told him, he says, you wait this place and I need you to pray. And he went a little farther into the garden and Jesus fell down and he started to pray. I made that comment in the very last part of this verse, this chorus. Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. And Jesus is the only one alone that can help me. Jesus didn't have anybody. I know that he had his Father that he prayed to, but he went and he prayed, and as he got up, and notice what he did, he got up from the prayer, and he went back to the three that he maybe had, I guess if you allow us to use the human part of it, had some confidence in those three men, at least those three men, because the other disciples, how many ever there were, he told them to stay there, and he brought these three, he said, I need you to pray, and he got back to these three, and they were asleep, and he woke them. He said, wake up, I need you to pray. I need you to pray with me. Christ needed someone to help carry his burden. But they didn't understand his burden. He went back again the second time to pray. He got up, he came back, and they were weary and tired again. He bared the burden alone. Going the third time to pray. Three times. How many times do we go to God and pray? How many times do we go maybe pray once and then let it go? How many times do we maybe ask the church? And as saints of God, every one of us, we know we can carry burdens for one another, but it isn't the same as us ourselves going through particular burdens. It was urgency. He prayed. He says, pray. He says, stay awake. Pray with me. But he had no one. He had no one there to help carry his burden except for Christ by himself. So when we sing this song, Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me in Jesus alone, because Jesus knew what it meant to be alone bearing a burden. Even though our family, our friends, the saints, our loved ones and things, our companions and all, they can help us carry a burden to a point. But sometimes that burden seems to be such a weight that no one can help us except for Christ. But he understands that great burden. What an urgency we have sometimes. Many times there are certain things that are a great urgency through sickness, through trials, through burdens, through troubles. Souls. A prayer for souls. Verse 1 there in this song, it says, I cannot bear these burdens alone. Christ bore the burden of the cross by himself. When the disciples, when the three that he thought may have been there to help him to stay awake and pray and then carry a burden, when he thought they fell asleep, they were hindered, but he had to bear this alone. He knows what it feels like to go through burdens by ourselves, and he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, and I'll help you to bear these burdens. I must tell Jesus, all of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. The heir knows and cares for his own. He knows. He knows the very depth of their burden, the intents of our burden. Even our closest companions, siblings, parents, whatever, children, they may be there, but they don't maybe comprehend that full burden that we have. I cannot bear these burdens alone. Peter says one time, he says, cast all of your cares upon me, for he careth for him, you. Matthew says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These are wonderful promises. We've mentioned, Brother Danny's mentioned, I believe several times, and maybe, and chairman and things, but I thank God he gives us an invitation to bring every single burden that we have, everything that we care about, from the most smallest things. I think of even children. I thank God for the innocence of even children. Even children, children can bring a burden to God. And God cares. Not that I've ever remembered this thought or anything. You know how insignificant some things could be that God cared about? A child that could be brought up in understanding that God cares and loves for everything that we care. A child being taught how to pray. A child being taught that there's a God in heaven that has all power. God did that to me at age 13 years old. Brought up here in Sunday school. Wasn't saved or anything. Could have been, I guess, 13, innocent to the smart. Had a dog that was sick. Had a dog ready to, my mom had taken him to the vet, ready to have him put down. Took him to the vet. Dog had some type of an infection. I don't know what it was now. Bladder, I don't know, kidney or whatever. The doctor said, we'll give him some antibiotics through the weekend. And we'll see what happens when I come Monday. If he's no better, we'll have to put him down. That was a family pet. I always say that this is when God introduced himself in a real way to me. I laid in bed that night and I cried. I was 13 years old. And I'll never forget to the day that I die by the help of God. I'll never forget the process of how God dealt with me with that. And God, I laid there in that bed at 13 years old. And I thought to myself, I'm going to do something. 13 years old, what am I going to do? I have no money. I have no talent. I have no ability. I don't know anybody that has any ability. And then I got sad. Right after that, God says, you know the one that creates, or you know the one that controls life and death. I got out of my bed and started to pray. I think that was a Saturday, I think if I remember right. Saturday night, prayed Saturday night, prayed different times through Sunday, went to school the next day on my way home from work or on the way home from school, and I was praying. It was already, the thing had already been set. My mom had already gone to the vet. Before I remember walking up to the house, before I touched the doorknob of the house, I said, Lord, let that dog be there. I opened the door, went in, and he was there. I'm not emotional because of the dog by any means. I'm emotional how God dealt with me. God worked with me. I didn't get saved till several years later. God introduced himself to me right there. And as the innocence of a child, you think it isn't important raising children in the house of God? You think it isn't important raising children to teaching them about Christ, teaching them about God, teaching them about the powers that God has? It's important. And we have a nation today that has no need for the things of God. They're rejecting God. But Peter says, cast all of your cares upon men, for him, for he cared for you. And come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I must need Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. This is a story that I enjoy very much. I just think there's so many meanings and so many thoughts in these. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went hence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sodom. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devils. But he answered her not a word. How many times you ever prayed, Lord, 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 Lord? Sister Ann just sang a song. Sometimes I have to reach up just to touch bottom. How many times we felt that way? But this woman knew where her need was. And if I get you to get any thought from my message this morning, Christ is where our need is met. Period. Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our needs. Everything that we have to deal with in life, Jesus Christ is the answer. And if we can present it to him by faith and holding on to that, he can help. Yeah. She came to Christ and she went down. She's answering, my daughter is grievously, verse 22, the last part, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. The pastor didn't say anything to me. Then the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. Then the church told me to go away. You know what happens when somebody's saved and sanctified and determined to make heaven their home? Nobody's going to deter them from serving God.
That's true.
I don't boast anything of myself, but I've been down some of those roads too. My earlier years of being saved, divisions and things happened in the church. I was sent a letter, me, at a young person. I wasn't saved, but maybe a couple years I was sent a letter and let me know I needed to leave this congregation. Our pastor was false. The church is false. Everything is false. But see, God had already dealt with me and talked to me and let me know where I need to stand. You're saved and you're sanctified. Nothing is going to deter you from keep serving God. And say, well, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Then you need to go to Jesus and ask him. Give him direction. Give him help. Sister Jerry's been in our congregation for many years. She's testified many a time here in our congregation. That's why we have Wednesday night prayer meeting and testimony time. It's a time we come and hear the testimony, the blessings of the saints. She testified and God let her know, you can make heaven from this congregation. You can make heaven from serving God right here. And she said, she's made this comment. She goes, God would have to show her that just as strongly that if she had to leave as she did when she came. See, when God shows you something, when God settles you, when you're saved and sanctified, let me tell you what, you'll stay in it. You'll stay in the race. I hear this, I hear that, I hear those, whatever's going on. Jesus didn't answer this woman a word. Then the disciples came and said, send her away. She cries after us. She's being a bother to us. We'll read verse 23 again. But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know how many people would have left the church almost by the first offense? Surely by the second? By the third? There are people that are in this area that are within miles, walking distance of this area. They've left the church because they got offended by somewhere, because their foundation wasn't on Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, you're going to get offended. I don't care if it's out there in the world. You're going to get offended out there in the world. You're going to get offended by your family. You know how many families have split and divided because of ridiculous small things sometimes? You don't think so? You wait till mom and dad pass away and you watch the divisions of the family split and shatter apart. You're going to get offended. You're going to get offended in the house of God. And some of those offenses may come by ourselves, us, our own individuals. Something happened. We have to have it determined by the grace of God. You need to get saved. You need to come to a place to repent from sin. Know that Jesus Christ saved you, sanctify you, and know that I'm on my way by the grace of Jesus Christ. And you'll make it. Regardless of what kind of offenses come. And this woman, she came to him, and he said in verse 24, "Woman, I'm not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Look at verse 25. How many of us would even have gone this direction? And she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me. I must need Jesus. I must need Jesus. All my trials, I cannot bear them alone. Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs." Really, there's a fourth offense. I venture to say there's not too many people across the world that's a child of God that if someone called them a dog, they would even stay in that congregation. I understand there's a whole lot behind that sometimes, but Jesus said this to this woman. But she humbled herself, verse 26, verse 27, and she said, "True." You know, each and every one of us in this room this morning, we're Gentiles. You know what that means? We were Gentiles, spiritually Gentiles. Not a one of us in this room are a part of the promise of Abraham. We were not born Jews. Not a one of us. And we were a part of the promise of Abraham. See, they were a part of the promise of Abraham, and that's what they were talking about here. She was not a part of that promise. She was not a part of Israel. She was not that promise that God had given to her. But she humbled herself, and every single one of us in this room are not a part of the promise of Abraham because we weren't born spiritual Jews. But thank God, because of Jesus Christ and he saved us, we became spiritual Jews and became a part of the promise of Abraham. By the grace of God. None of us. We're foreigners. The Bible says we're foreigners. We don't have any credit to ourselves. And this woman said, "True, Lord, I'm a dog," so to speak. Yet, verse 27, "Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fell from the master's table." She humbled herself. See, that's one of the problems with us today sometimes. And I say us just in general. We got this pride. See, I was in the Philippines a couple different times. And one time, me and Brother Greg walked through the markets. And it was meat market, fish. I mean, Sister Melody, you know, I mean, they had meat. Raw meat hanging everywhere and lung and animals and fish. They had big water pans there and fish are swimming around and people walking around with chickens and things and very unusual. Now, Brother Greg, I'm 6'3". Brother Greg's about the same tall and we're both big men. We're walking through this market and as I'm walking through this market, I'm watching people, not too much looking at what's going on. And you can hear them, some of them say something because two Americans there were no other Americans, and they were turning, they were looking, and everybody was just watching us walk through here and things. And I said something to Brother Greg later on. I said they were looking at us. He goes, "Yeah, you would think we have two heads, that we just look unusual or whatever." We were foreigners there, but because we were Americans, it was a little bit more of a plane. But because we're United States of Americans, that gives us no credit, no available for Jesus Christ to save us. We have to come through the same way. We have to all come through the same blood. We have to all come through the same path of humbling ourselves, repent from sin. "Well, I'm an American." I don't care. I don't care if you're American, you're Russian, you're Chinese, you're Japanese, whatever. You have to come through the same cross of Jesus Christ to get saved. This woman came through that path, humbled herself, and said, "True, Lord. But even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the table," verse 28. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thy will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. See, Jesus knew it. Saints, let me tell you something. Jesus knows
your makeup. The Bible teaches us Jesus knows our makeup. But Jesus knows our faith. Jesus knows our weakness. And sometimes Jesus will allow us to go through certain areas to see how we can be a blessing to other people. So if we allow us to go through this battle, that battle, and sometimes we may come to Christ and say, Lord, I can't go no more. Jesus can give you a grace. See, if Jesus would have known from the very beginning that this Jesus would have just walked, that this woman would have walked away, he would have probably granted her request right off. But he knew. He knew that she knew where her need can be met. It was through Christ. It was through Christ. And she was not going to quit asking or let anything deter her or offend her from getting what she desired she needed. I must tell Christ. He can bear my burdens. What will hinder us from our prayers? What will hinder our prayers? You know, many people in the Bible wanted to see Christ. There were crowds. There were people that just thrown Christ all the time. But they didn't want to see him because they wanted to go to heaven. They wanted to see him because they wanted the miracles. They wanted to be fed. When Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate sent him to Herod. Remember that? Herod said, oh, I want to see him. I long to see this man, Jesus. But he even said why he wanted to see him. I want to see him because I want to see him perform a miracle for me. And when Jesus came and stood before Herod and he did nothing, get him away from me. I don't want him. I have no need for him anymore. They want to see him for the wrong purpose. The Bible says there will be a day that every eye shall see him. Every eye will see Christ. Every ear will hear Christ. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Christ. But at that time, it'll be too late. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to come to the place to realize I need Jesus. I need Jesus to walk with me. I need Jesus to save me. I need Jesus to sanctify me. I need Jesus to walk through this sinfulness world with me. I need Jesus to take me to heaven. I need Jesus in every step of the way. When we see him at that great judgment day, and if we haven't asked him to be a part of our lives here, that will be a terrible day. Yeah. The Bible says there shall be wailing and weeping of teeth in that day. We need him. What will hinder us from receiving Christ? Many people don't desire to see him. Let's go to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to pick up in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Lord, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. As for a prince hast thou power with God, and with man hast thou prevailed. In verse 26 there, he said unto him, the angel of the Lord said unto him, let me go for the break of day. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You know, I know we have a lot of burdens and prayers and battles and things in our lives. Sometimes we pray. Sometimes, but there are some times that are a little more urgent, a little more sincere. And Jacob here, he had the attention of the Lord. He had the angel of the Lord.
And he was looking for something. He was looking for a blessing. He was desiring a blessing from God. And he says, I'm not going to let it go until you give me what I need. You know, I've said many times, I've used this, you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes we may think, well, I'm going to do that with everything. We can't. We can't do that. That's sometimes an unusual situation, and that doesn't happen all the time. We can't. God, I believe, sometimes can minimize our burden for certain things because he's going to direct the way he desires to direct, and the way we desire for the Lord work may not be in his wanting, so he may lessen our burden. But there are some things God may burden us greater for and give us a greater burden, and we may carry a greater burden. And Jacob here, he desired a greater burden. He desired to sing, Lord. He says, I'm not going to let you go except you bless me. How long do we keep a burden before God? I believe we need to ask God sometimes for a greater burden today. I believe because of the sin of the world and the things of the world and the divisions and the separations and all the things, sometimes it hinders us, hinders our prayers. Sometimes we may think, well, last week I prayed. I prayed a time or two this week. Where's our burden? I mentioned a little bit earlier in the message, and I often think about it from time to time. There are many souls that sat right here in these pews that are probably within walking distance of this building, or at least driving distance with no hindrance, 10, 15 minutes maybe. There are some people in this area, in the community, children, Sunday school children that were raised here, families that were raised here. At one time, maybe they stood in these pews, thank God for being saved, thank God for being sanctified, but something got them and they left the house. You know, you ever say something to somebody to say, you know, I don't remember their name, but I can see their face. Saints, we can have a prayer for such a way. Lord, I don't know their name and I don't know their face, but you know who's on this road, the next road, the road after that. You know whose hearts and minds are considering the things of God. Yeah. Lord, you know, help us to carry a burden for those that maybe were here at one time, were saved and sanctified, that they can come back. Children that were raised up, some of the youngest children, I guess Brother Danny's, children were the youngest there, the last, but they're married, they have children, and there's something to remember them. I need to get back to Jesus. I need to get back to services. I need to get back to church. Help us, Lord. God knows where they are. They need Jesus. And as I said in this song, says, I must tell Jesus. They need Jesus, and sometimes they don't even know it. Just how drastically they do need Christ. But help us to pray that God can deal with them there. You know, Rachel, one time in the Bible back in the Old Testament, Rachel cried to her husband, Jacob, because she was barren and couldn't have children. She said, give me children, unless I die. And Jacob got upset with her. He goes, who am I? Am I God? I'm not God. I can't open your womb and give you children. I can't do that. And she wept and she cried because her sister Leah had several children. Leah had children, but she was barren. That was an important part in her life. I don't know if anything dealt with Rachel as much as that consumed her thoughts and her minds and her prayers. Finally, God blessed her and gave her children. And she was thankful. You know, from time to time, Lord, help us, give us spiritual children. Give us spiritual souls. Give us people that have a desire, I must tell Christ. Be not persuaded to go to the right or to the left. By the grace of God, I'm going to just stay on the straight and narrow path by the grace of God. Regardless of who tries to hinder me, who tries to divert my path, who tries to offend me, whatever, by the grace of God, I'm going to keep following Jesus Christ. I must tell Jesus. Jesus alone. When's the last time you've gone to God and said, you know, Lord, this one bothered me, this one offended me, that one offended me, this one did that to me. think Brother Davis used to make that comment from time to time. He goes, if you're ever going to talk about me, he goes, do all that talking about me on your knees with God. I thought that was a really good point. Go to God and complain to God all you want to about anybody. Just unload. Lord, this person doing that, this person doing that. But you know what people do? I got to go over here and tell this person. I got to tell this person. I got to tell that person. God says, no. That's not who you need to tell. Say, well, they offended me. They upset me. They did something to me. I understand that. But help us, Lord. We need to go to God.
Yeah.
Lord, here I am. Give me the grace. I mentioned that to you one time. The Bible says, and the Word of God tells us, and there he says that we need to love our enemies. Pray for them to despitefully use you. I used to work with a man one time, and I've told you different time. And it wasn't me. It was just a man that he just wasn't happy in life. And I remember one period of time there was something going on with him, but whatever, he was just in a really bad mood at work and things. And I was in prayer that morning. And I said, Lord, help me with this man. Help me with this man. And he just has a bad attitude. He just goes at it. Help me. And I prayed several different days. Well, you know what? There was a time we all would get together in the parts area before work and everything. We're sitting there, and somebody started talking about it. And I started to chime in a little bit. And God just talked to my mind. He says, you just got done praying for him. Don't sit here and talk about it. Leave him alone. And God said, you just keep your mouth shut. I must tell Jesus. You can tell Jesus anything you want on your prayer needs. Anything. There is nothing restricted at all. You can tell Christ. Because one thing, he knows what's in our mind. He knows everything in our mind. Bring it to Christ. By the grace of God. May the Lord bless you as we'll have a song.
Let's stand up and open the page to 127 in our psalm book. 127.
Lord, if we found sin and serve the Lord, be ready when he comes. Will you soon appear with hearing good? Be ready when he comes. Be ready when he comes. Be ready. Be ready.
together.